our show today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am your host, Wanda, along with co-host Stephanie and Sweden. I am the founder of the nonprofit organization called We Are Survivors. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help individuals transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient people in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower men and women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, and to uplift them and provide them with a new life and with a new perspective of a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was actually molested from the age of 7 to 12 and then raped from the age of 13 to 18 by my biological father as well as my stepfather. I met my ex-husband at the age of 19, who became sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him to the age of 31. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help others who have walked or may still be walking in my shoes. Hello, Stephanie and Sweeten. How are we doing today?
Wonderful.
Doing just fine. How are you, ladies?
Great. We're great. Excited about some things that We Are Survivors are doing. I will actually talk to you and Stephanie after the show, because I got to tell you all about a great meeting that I had yesterday that I'm really excited about, and I think you all will be excited about it, too. But before we get into things that we have going on, Stephanie, tell us about our fundraising events.
Okay, we currently have several fundraisers that we would like the support of everyone. We have our Kroger Plus reward card. So if you currently have a Kroger Plus reward card, or if you will go and get a Kroger Plus reward card, if you go to Kroger.com and register your card and then connect it to We Are Survivors, if you start putting in We Are, and then it should pop up, and you link it to We Are Survivors. And each quarter, according to how much you get in, then Kroger's would give us a donation. The same thing with Tom Thumbs. If you go to their website, TomThumb.com, then we're registered with them as well, and you can pull their card off, and you can link to theirs and put your information on there, or you can contact us and we can make sure that we get you registered with them. We also do the CPN discount card, which is $15 a year, and you get discounts all over the U.S. We get half of that. And then we do the Compass Bank fundraiser. If you have a Compass Bank account, according to how much you spend, we get a donation from them. You just link it to We Are Survivors. And then we also do the Purple City Project, which is one of the photographers. And I'll let Wanda go into details on that because she's already done her pictures. And so she can tell you more about that one. But the ones that I mentioned, if you either call or text me, then I can get you connected with all of those or which ones you're interested in. My number is 817-320-2571. And Wanda, if you'll go ahead and share about the Purple City Project.
Yes, I will. The Purple City Project is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot campaign, and you can either book it professionally or personally. And what it is it's where the photographer, whose name is Charles, he goes by City, has four different packages, and they're discounted so that his regular prices don't deter you from participating, and part of the proceeds will go to We Are Survivors so that we may be able to provide hotel rooms for men, women, and children, because a lot of people don't know and don't understand that we receive phone calls, not only of this organization, but other organizations that We Are Survivors work with get calls and we cannot find placement for individuals that need somewhere to go immediately. It's a serious situation, and so it's very important that you all do something to kind of help. I know a lot of fundraising events ask you to come out of pocket and you receive nothing in return, but knowing that you've helped someone, a lot of people like something tangible. So we have, like I said, the Compass Bank, where it doesn't matter where you spend your everyday expenses, you're still contributing to someone. If it's at Tom Thumb or Kroger's, we all have to eat. So even by doing that, it's not coming out of your pocket directly, indirectly, because you're buying food for your home, but you're also providing monies for someone else, be it food, shelter, or clothes, just by taking care of your home. With the photography fundraising event, he has four different packages, but I'm going to just touch on the first two. You have a $55 package, which is valued at $100. It's a 20-minute session for up to four people. You get unlimited shots, one look. So, ladies, that's one outfit and two edits. And then you have the $160 value package, which costs you only $80, and it's up to four people. Unlimited shots, you get two looks, so that's two outfits and four edits, which means the edits means you get to pick two or four of your favorite pictures. And I had 303, I'll never forget it, 303 pictures. So it's not as easy as it sounds to narrow down your favorite pictures because he's very awesome. His phone number is 214-591-1370. And those who actually follow me on Facebook, I am excited to announce that I am going to be a published author. I am a co-author of a book that's coming out. And within this, if you see the picture, the reason I brought it up is because if you look, if you go back and see the picture that is on my advertisement regarding the book, City actually took the picture. He was a photographer that actually took the picture. So if you really kind of want to get an idea of what he does and his great work, like I said, if you follow me on Facebook, then you will be able to see the picture that surrounds my book called Women Warriors Who Make It Rock. And that picture of me, like I said, in the all black, is a product of his work. A lot of people sometimes want to see what a photographer can do. So that kind of gives you an idea. I want to go over some of the things that We Are Survivors are doing and currently are going to do. I know that we have two more weeks, and Stephanie and I can also chime in on this because she's also doing it with me as well. We are working with the City of Dallas, the Dallas Police Department, and every Tuesday and Thursday we're in the community and we are just kind of educating, having fun, playing games, building memories for children in six different apartment complexes. And several different organizations that have come together, and we're just there from 10 to 12 with snacks, just a lot of fun and games. It's really been enlightening, and it's something that we're going to continue to do. But I do want to let everyone know it was actually on the news a few weeks ago acknowledging that people like ourselves, people like the Dallas Police Department, are really out doing things in the community. So I do want to bring that up. Let's see. For the month of August, we have My Sister Keeper Unity Party that's on the 13th. We actually have our annual.
Before you actually go
ahead.
On, even though it's a lot of fun and games, it's also really helping the kids. Even with, like, some of the older kids, you get a chance to see the kids interact. Some of them were there. It is keeping them out of trouble or getting them to stop doing some of the things that they were getting in trouble. We had a situation where one of the kids had done something and another kid told on. So, of course, you know, we have all these officers around. So
Right.
Actually, it was the officers weren't the ones that they were told, but you know, of course, they happened to be there, and because the adults were told, so of course, you know, we try to handle things first, right? And of course,
right.
you know, the officers here, right? And so, you know, as we're talking, then they get to put their, you know, their little spin on it. And
mm-hmm.
this officer happened to share, you know, some of the things that he did in his childhood. And he happened to share that, oh, yeah, he's, you know, he's taken some things before. He's been in trouble. He's been a juvenile, you know, and, you know, done these bad things. And then he turned his life around, and look what he's doing now. He's an officer. You know, so it was impressive seeing that, you know, seeing him speak to, you know, speaking to these kids that, okay, he was in your shoes at one time, you know?
Right.
I did these things, but I, you know, I changed. I turned my life around. And now look what I'm doing. You know? And
that is
one
awesome.
Of the boys, right, one of the boys, he was smiling when he said, well, I sold this. And I had to look at him, and I was like, oh, so you're proud of that? And he's like, no, I'm not proud. I said, well, why are you smiling like that? You know, and it's like, it's you have to take a certain approach with these kids because to them, some things are okay until you bring it to their attention because they don't know better. And you have to bring it to
right.
their attention and let them know it's not okay. You know? And once it was brought to his attention, that smile came off his face. So
wow.
it's a lot of, they're learning a lot of things because, you know, they don't know. And in, you know, in their environment, they're, it's like, it's okay, you know, to them. They're, you know, it's okay in their environment. But it takes people to come in and let them know, no, this is not okay.
Right.
And, you know,
that's what they're accustomed to and what they know.
Exactly. And that's why this program is there, to let them, you know, to bring them out of that and, you know, to help change them so they have a better future.
That is, yeah, that's, I'm glad you was able to share that because it does give a different light on the reason why we are there and the reason why the police officers are there. And two, with the negativity right now that's in the media regarding police officers, it's always good for children to see that they are people too and that they have made mistakes as well. And just because
mm-hmm.
you've made a mistake, it doesn't necessarily define who you can be and who you will be in the future. So, yeah, that
exactly.
was awesome for them to be able to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Or
and
our apartment complex.
Board,
oh, yeah. Our apartment complex, we played volleyball and football. And I'm telling you, them little kids was tackling like they were playing for the NFL. Oh, my goodness. I was like, I'm going to sit right here and video and take pictures. Y'all go right ahead.
Wait, you're going to participate?
What?
At least the volleyball?
Wait, no. I sat outside. I took some pictures. I talked to some parents. Hey, I took some video. Talked to the police. But no. I got a spider on me today. Hey, I did
oh
a lot. I got a spider. I had police protection because the police knocked it off.
Oh, okay. They protected you from a spider bite, right?
They did, and it was a baby spider. Hey, that was enough. That was enough. No, but it is. It's wonderful to see the kids learn. It's wonderful to see. It's wonderful to be a part of something like that. They're going to Bahama Beach Saturday.
Yeah.
From 10 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to have a lot of fun out there in the heat at Birka Day.
Yes.
Wonderful. Hope they got some sunscreen. You're going to have a lot of fun. Just getting winded down. Then we have, like I said, 2 more weeks for the summer outreach program because school begins this month at the end of the month. And that's just been a wonderful experience for We Are Survivors. So, like I said, to be out in the community and do things with the kids because those kids are our future. People don't think that way, but they really are. Those children are going to be making decisions for us when we're in our elderly age. So the most, as much positive energy, positive exposure, motivation, uplifting words that can possibly be given, the time is now. So with that, like I said, our annual is coming up August 20th, and we have partnered up with Buzz Art Night. And me and the owner, Ms. Alwood, have been to 97.9, which really Radio 1, 97.9 and 94.5. We did a community interview talking about We Are Survivors, what we're doing, the event that is coming up, and the ticket prices and what the prices include. That will be aired on 97.9 Sunday morning. And I know I personally won't be up this early, but it's from 6 to 6:30. And then on 94.5, the boom is from 7 to 7:30. So I will get up and record that 7 to 7:30. That's 6. It's a little early for me because I got to get ready for church. But I will get up Sunday morning to record it off 94.5, the boom. So I'm really excited about the interview. Like I said, we talked about what we're doing. We had fun, you know, taking pictures. We are really working to kind of partner up with Vida Loca. You all hear her in the evening times when you get off from work. We're trying to, you know, get something going with there with that so that.
Hello? Hello?
Okay. Wanda's mic went silent for a second. Sweet, do you have anything that you want to share while she went silent?
Oh, I mean, there's nothing really too much going on my side. Just me trying to get my home life together right now. That's otherwise than that. Depending on working on some homes. Yes, I will say September, me and my wife, on my birthday, we signed up for an organization called Music Is Our Weapon, and me and her will be volunteering at an elder's home and sharing music with elders, you know, I think for 2 or 3 hours. So that's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty kind of excited about it.
Right.
So,
Hello, everyone. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I just kind of lost connection, but I'm back.
Okay.
Thank you all for staying there. I was like, what happened? Technology. Sometimes it's your best friend. Sometimes it can be your enemy. But as I was saying, our annual, so we're working a lot with 94.5 and 97.9. Reaching out to La Vida Loca so we can get a lot of more radio coverage in the community. But we are planning, really, really planning, really, 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 really hard to get the information out, to let people know that we are doing a fundraising event. True enough, it is about domestic violence. But a lot of people hear that and they kind of shun away from it because it's such a heavy topic.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal, though, is to kind of eliminate that perception when it comes to We Are Survivors and domestic violence. And what I mean by that is I'm working, Stephanie and I are working, and now Sweeten, we're working to come up with creative ways to do things so that, yes, we are relating our events to domestic violence. You will get some information regarding survival skills, regarding red flags, regarding what to do, information that's needed, information that you can use. But in the same token, fellowship, have fun, you know, meet people, you know, look and see that you're not by yourself, that there are people that survive, that you don't, it's not something that you know, have to, once again, mold you into someone that you're not. So we're really excited about partnering up with Buzz Art Night and Radio 1. The event is on Eventbrite. If you go and put Eventbrite, go to Eventbrite, excuse me, and do type in Buzz Art Night. If you do that and scroll, you will find our event. And once again, like I said, it's on Eventbrite. It is August 20th. It's at Picasso Pizzeria in Addison off of Tollway from 5 to 7:30. The ticket prices are $60. That includes your meal, your drinks, your non-alcoholic drinks, your stencil, your painting, all your paints, your brushes, your apron. So that $60 is included. And a portion of those proceeds does go to We Are Survivors. It is a fundraising event. So it is really important that we really push this and get the word out. We have a lot of people that are interested. We've had some ticket sales. My goal, though, is to actually, the max we can get is 60, so I'm shooting for 60. And so August 25th through the 29th, I am excited to announce that We Are Survivors will be going to Europe. We will be speaking at the International Women's Conference that is in Finland. We Are Survivors has also been invited to go on a tour of Africa next year. And so we are really doing some things. My focus really is to get We Are Survivors out there so people know what we're doing. So people will know that we are here to stay. We are here to change lives. We are here to touch, be it a child, be it a male, or be it a female. We want people to know that we are here. We Are Survivors is composed of survivors. We're not an organization that has gone out and hired individuals that are looking for a job, that don't understand the walk that these people are walking, that they can't relate. Anyone that is tied to We Are Survivors understands. They can relate, and I thank God for that, because we have compassion, we have understanding, and we won't ask the wrong questions. I'm going to be quiet because I can go on and on and on. God is blessing We Are Survivors in so many different ways. Oh, my goodness. I can't tell too much until the time is right. But I just want everybody to keep praying for We Are Survivors. I thank God for the support that We Are Survivors is receiving. We Are Survivors now, and I say We Are Survivors because it's not me alone. I can't do this by myself. But I'm also excited to announce that I am going to be a co-author in the book that right now is at number 3 on the Amazon's bestseller list, and it has not even dropped a paper yet. So excited about what God is doing for We Are Survivors. Today, we have the second part of a survival story, and I'm going to let Mr. Sweeten introduce his wife. Now it's your show.
All right. second part, I guess. I kind of forgot where we left off, but, you know, this is just basically me introducing my wife, Belle. Is what we call her. She's my wife. And
yes, her name is beautiful.
Belange. That's what it is. But a lot of people can't get it, so, you know, it's just Belle. But she would definitely get into, I guess, our part of the relationship, because she talked about her mom and her coming up with her parents. And I don't know if we left off at our first date, but I'll let her get into it. So whatever you have to say, hon.
Well, welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you. Miss Wanda, before I start, if I'm not mistaken, you can ask for your interview to get an ear check, which is basically when they send you the audio clip of it so you don't actually have to record it. They can just send you the pre-recorded clip of your interview.
Got it. I will look into that. Thank you, because I didn't want to sleep in for church.
No problem.
Thank you.
So last time we spoke, I gave a little background on my history with my parents and the initial struggles that I had with coming to grips with everything that happened. And in reference to the way that I share my story, I actually posted this on Facebook. It's an example of not just surviving but thriving. The fact that the things that you've been through don't necessarily have to dictate where you're going. And just because yesterday may have been bad and today may not look good, that doesn't mean that tomorrow has to continue the pattern. We can make the conscious decision to change. If nothing else, we can change ourselves if we can't change the circumstances around us. So Swinton and I, now getting into the story of us, we grew up in the same community. We went to the same schools for middle school and high school. And even back then, when we were growing up, he made the attempt to talk to me, but in addition to the things that we were going, that I was going through in my home with the abuse, I was also very into my schoolwork and my books. I wasn't really paying attention to boys because of the things that I'd been through, and also being scared to death of my mother and what she'd do to me if she found out I was even talking to boys. So when he tried to talk to me, even just to say hello, I would run away, literally run away. When I went off to college and came back while I was away, my best friend at the time and his cousin had a baby, and Swinton and I were the godparents. That's how we got reconnected. And I'm going to say that we saw each other again in December of 2003. And by the beginning of 2004, Swinton expressed his interest in me. You know, he told me he liked me, and I, being slightly naive, I thought he just, you know, thought it was saying that he liked me as a person. And I liked him too, as a person. And, you know, he explained to me that he meant he liked me as a girl, you know, as a woman, and was interested in pursuing a relationship with me. At the time, I was interested in someone else, and I saw him as a friend. And so, you know, he told me he was willing to pursue a friendship with me, but made it very clear that that wasn't enough. So in that same time period was when I was going to trying to go back to college and had gotten kicked out of my mother's house and was in between homes. So was based, I don't want to say homeless, because I feel like what I consider to be homeless is a lot tougher than what I went through, but I did go through a lot during that time period. There were points in times when I even had to sleep in this car. So as far as our relationship, it started out as friendship. We would talk a lot. I mean, we would spend hours on the phone talking. And then my grandmother passed away in May of 2004. And when I was in Puerto Rico for the funeral, that's kind of when I first realized that I had feelings for Swinton. I missed him a lot. And I felt like, you know, if the way that I was missing him, there had to be something there that was more than just friendship. And so, you know, I made my mind up that when I got back home, we would try to be together. So I know that he told you guys the story of our first quote-unquote date.
Yes.
Again, I was, even though I'd been through a lot, I've always been very book smart, but I was naive to the world because of my lack of exposure to life outside of my household. And so, you know, in my mind, everyone was good. There was nothing bad that happened in the world. And I just kind of walked around in a little pink bubble that I created for myself. And I think it was a kind of a self-protection reality that I created for myself. And so our first quote-unquote date, we were in the car with his cousin, who was one of my best friends at the time, and they'd stop at this house, and I was like, I'll sit in the car. I'll wait in the car. And so his cousin, my friend, tells me, you're going to be safer coming inside the house with us than you are going to be outside. So I walk into this house, and there's a lot of people in the house, and I'm just, like, smiling and don't really recognize what's going on. And then all of a sudden, like, look, and I see that there's a hole in the wall that connects the house that we're in to the house next door. And then I realized that I'm in a crack house. And so
Wow. That
was kind of like my first to real life, you know. So that was interesting. I don't really know what to say about that. I mean, it was what it was. I'd been through so much at that point in my life that it wasn't even shocking. It was what it was, and I kept it moving.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as our relationship, in the beginning, like, I warned him that I was crazy. I had no problem stating that, but I didn't understand to the extent of what I meant when I said crazy. And so, therefore, I wasn't able to prepare him enough to explain what I meant when I said crazy. Our relationship was very difficult. It was forced to be moved really quickly. Like I said, I was already in a position where I didn't have a place to live, and then he found himself getting kicked out of his brother's house for multiple reasons, and it was like, well, I need a place to live, and you need a place to live, so let's move in together. It wasn't a, I love you so much, I can't live without you. It was, you know, out of necessity, we both need a place to live, so let's move in together. Our initial living together situation was us and then his mother and his youngest brother, because when he got kicked out, his mother and his youngest brother also got kicked out and needed a place to live, and it was very difficult. It was my first, I guess, really adult relationship, and I didn't have any foundation, any point of reference as to what a healthy relationship looked like. And so basically I found myself repeating the same abusive patterns that my mother had with me, with him. It's particularly because something would happen where I would have a bad day at work, or even if I didn't have a bad day at work, I'd be coming home and excited to see him and wanting to tell him how much I love him. But instead of that, of doing that, I just walk through the door and start nagging at him and telling him everything that did wrong, and somehow everything that had gone wrong in my day would then become his fault. And none of this was conscious. I wasn't doing any of this on purpose. It was just the programming that had happened to me through my entire life. I know we're short on time, so I can't really get into details, and we'll have to do another follow-up to get into more specifics, but it was a very long period of time where, you know, he would try to tell me, you know, and point out to me the things that I was doing that were abusive, that weren't right, and I just would find a way to convince myself in my mind that it wasn't me, that it was him. To the point where he became so defensive from the things that I was doing to him that it became offensive to me. You know, Swinton never put his hands on me, you know. I can say that. He's never put his hands on me. One, because I know that as a man, and him having been through the things that he's been through, he would never do that to me or to any other woman. But second, because in my craziness, I explained to him, you know, I'm not afraid of you. And if you ever put your hands on me, it'll be the last time you put your hands on anybody. Because, you know, I might not be stronger than you, but you've got to go to sleep sometime.
Right.
And that's how I protected myself. Even though in saying that, I still wasn't understanding that I was the abusive one in the relationship. Because in my mind, I was just doing what I'd been taught is how a relationship works. So we got married in 2008. And at that point, something shifted inside of me. When I decided to make the commitment to be with this man for the rest of my life, something shifted inside of me. And I had to come to the conclusion where I said, you know, if I love this man and I believe that he loves me as much as he says he does, I may have to consider the fact that I don't know everything. I may have to consider the fact that when he tells me that it's me, it might be me causing the problems in the relationship. And so at that point, to look at what if the things that he's saying to me about myself are true? And if they are true, how can I work to fix it? Now, this became even more frustrating because, one, I'd already done so much damage to him as a person that it was very difficult for him to recognize the changes in me because he was already in such a defensive place. And two, the fact that he was unable to recognize the changes in me as small and gradual as they were made me offensive to him. So then we both became defensive people that were offending each other because we were both hurt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's a process that we're still working on, you know. So in 2008, I made that change. I wasn't, and then the other issue was that I wasn't just offensive to him. I was attacking other people. You know, people would come over, he'd have company over, and I would just be in this really negative mood and bring the whole vibe down. I was rude to people. It was just a very deep-rooted negative energy that had been programmed into me because of how I was brought up. And it wasn't the person that I had to be or wanted to be. So I literally had to break myself down to zero and start building myself back up. And I want to say that the big change, like that for me, like the point where I felt like I am totally different than the person I was when I was 21, when I got with him, was when I turned 30. So 3 years. I feel like when I turned 30, I was born again, and I often tell people I'm 3 years old. And in being 3 years old, I mean that completely. You know, I'm still learning myself. I'm still learning how to deal with the world around me. I'm still learning how to be a wife. I'm still learning how to be a friend. And it's a process, you know. It's a process, and you have to give yourself time to allow yourself to go through that process. And you have to learn to love yourself, not just the good parts of yourself, but the parts of yourself that make you uncomfortable too. So, you know, some days I can say I take it day to day. Some days I have to say I take it hour to hour, and sometimes it can even be minute to minute. I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder in February and have been in individual therapy as well as we're doing family therapy, him and I. And, it's a process. So that's just an overview of our relationship. And I say all that to say that it works if you work it. You know, I feel like a lot of relationships, first of all, there's a lot of broken people, so broken children in adult bodies that don't recognize that they're broken and they do damage to themselves and each other because of that lack of recognition. Second of all, I feel like a lot of relationships, in addition to this brokenness, fail because people have this unrealistic expectation that marriages are perfect. You never fight. You never have disagreements.
Right.
You know, things just go your way, and your partner just does everything that you expect them to do because this is your world and that's how it is, and it doesn't go that way. And so when people aren't expecting the fact that they're going to have to go through obstacles together, that they are going to have to communicate and compromise, then it just falls apart. You know, there's a reason why fairy tales, the happily ever after, the furthest it gets is the wedding. Because once the wedding happens, real life hits. And then it's not as picture perfect as it's made out to be. So, I guess this is a brief synopsis of 12 years. We've been together for 12 years, you know, and we've made it this long together because in spite of the fact that through multiple parts of our relationship, either one of us should have walked away at some point, we didn't. And at this point, we've made the commitment that we're in it for the long haul. So it's not going to be pretty every day. We're not going to get along 24/7, but as long as we understand that we have to respect each other, you know, as individual people and then also as each other's partners, and compromise and communicate, then we can make it through. Because if we've made it through all this stuff we've gone through to this point, we can make it through anything.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you said is really profound, because a lot of marriages nowadays, that's what you said is I don't say old school thinking, but the older population, when you look back on their marriages and what they've gone through and how they worked through it, they stuck together. It's like, hey, we set those vows, we meant those vows. Nowadays, like, people get married, see something they don't like, get bored, move on to something else. So I do commend you on what you've done, what you've said, because it takes more courage to work through and acknowledge, okay, I'm an individual, you're an individual, we have our differences, we're going to disagree, but you have to learn how to agree to disagree. And learn what I've learned is to acknowledge something that makes me uncomfortable and try to understand what is it about this situation that has irritated me, made me angry, makes me uncomfortable. What can I learn from this moving forward? So if it occurs again, I'm going to have a different reaction. So I do, like I said, commend you and your husband, because you all as a couple, now I'm not even talking about individually, as a couple have been through a lot. Not your average, normal, everyday marriage where somebody didn't wash the dishes, somebody take out the trash, I forgot to put gas in the car. Not those types of ordeals. You all have been through some different type of ordeals, and to acknowledge the love that you two have, acknowledge your different paths, your different journeys that have combined as one, but still acknowledging that, hey, I feel this certain way, or I'm, you know, in this space right now, I understand I'm not going to get along, but I'm in it for the long haul. That speaks volumes.
And it's also getting to the point of going from a place of blame or right or wrong to responsibility. You know, it's getting to the point where we have to agree to disagree. You know, when we're having a conversation, I'll often tell him, you know, this hurt me, or this bothered me, or I felt this way when this happened. And I have to, if I'm going to tell him how I feel, I also have to be able to accept how he's feeling. And then also, you know, I suffer from PTSD, anxiety, and depression. So if I expect for him to bear with me when I'm going through my moments, when I am anxious and that anxiety is coming off as hostile, even though I'm explaining to you this is really what's going on with me, then I have to give him the space to go through his moments as well. You know, this healing process, you really have to give time time. You know, you have to go through the paces of feeling the emotions because, you know, like if we're talking about, for example, with him, if we just say 21 years of trauma, you can't expect that you're going to fix 21 years in a few months. You know,
right.
you have to, and then if we're talking about our relationship, if I'm saying 9 years, minimum 9 years, where I can recognize and take responsibility for damage that I did, then I can't expect that, oh, I'm better now, you know, so just get over it. No, we're going to have to work through it. And part of me taking responsibility is accepting the fact that I'm going to have to hear it multiple times how I hurt him, you know, work through those feelings and emotions until he feels reconciled for that. And it's part of it because as people that have been hurt, you know, we are programmed sometimes to hurt other people even when it's not our intention.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one thing that I've learned is that your intention might not have been to do what happened, but the effect is as valid as your intention was. So sometimes it's in finding it within yourself to say, you know what, I don't necessarily feel the need to apologize for what I said or what I did, but I will apologize for how it made you feel. It's just
right.
That recognition of how that other person is in the relationship. It's being able to look beyond yourself to acknowledge that other person. So, you know, it's a work in progress.
And just imagine what you are doing in a marriage. You have people that have to do that in their single. Because even though you may not be living with someone, you have to take in consideration your everyday relationships outside of your home. And I'm talking from experience because I there was a time where I really didn't care what anyone thought, said, how they looked at me. You gotta know my story and I don't care. The two people that I trusted the most hurt me the most. So who are you to me? Nobody. And that's not the way. It's not the way to walk around every single day.
Exactly.
So, you know, even if you're not married, you still have to take the same steps that you're saying as an individual, as a single person, because you affect someone out in the world. Someone today told me she's a manager at a retail store. She's telling me this woman walked in 8 months ago in just this uproar. And she asked her, well, ma'am, what's going on? So it led this woman to open up and tell her. She walked in the store 8 months after that and informed my friend that that day, that evening, she saved her life because she was contemplating suicide. And the words that she said to this total stranger redirected this woman's path. So in saying that, you just every day, no matter if you're single or married, you have to be mindful of yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and it's very true. Like I said, you know, when I was being offensive, it wasn't just towards him. It was towards my coworkers. It was towards people that were trying to be my friend. It was towards strangers. It was everyone because I was so hurt internally. But in my mind, like you said, I was like, oh, I know how to pay bills. I have a job. I can do this, this, and this. So I got it together. And you don't know my story. And, you know, I've gone this long having to do it myself, and you're not going to tell me what to do. But that was all coming from a place of hurt. But if I couldn't accept my truth for myself, if I couldn't recognize it for myself, how could I explain it to other people? And so it took me to be in my mid to late 20s before I even learned what empathy was. Because of the things I'd been through, I was always able to feel sympathy for other people. Like externalize, you know, that's happening to them over there and I feel bad for them, poor them. But in learning empathy, in the way that I treated other people, I started to think, how would I feel if the way that I'm treating someone else was the way that I was being treated? And not only if it happened, when it happened to me, because that's what I was doing. I'm treating other people the way I was treated. So I have to remind myself, how did you feel when you were treated that way? And if it, you didn't like how you felt, why would you do that to somebody else? And so that's how I live my life now, whether I know you or not. How would I feel if the way that I was speaking to you was the way that I was being spoken to? And so that's helped me a lot, because then that way, when I speak to somebody, I don't have to feel bad about it later. Because I know that if I said something that you may not have liked, I didn't say it from a place of anger or attacking you. You know, I may have told you a truth that you didn't want to hear, or I may have spoken to you in a strong tone, but it's coming from a place of love, because I'm treating you and talking to you the way that I would want someone to talk to me if it was the other way around. So it's just developing that consciousness for other people, which has helped me heal myself, you know, and that's it. It's also helped me to become more empathetic and sympathetic when I recognize the pain and hurt in other people. You know, like, I do believe that everyone that you encounter is a reflection of you, whether it be good or bad. It's a part of yourself that either you've overcome and now you're able to see it in other people to help them overcome it themselves, or it's something that is beautiful in you and you see it reflected in other people. So yeah, it's namaste. That's what it's called, you know? So yeah.
Wow. And Mr. Sweden, you got anything to add to?
Growth. There's a lot of growth for the relationship, I guess, and it was needed. I'm not the one that really wanted to toot my horn to recognize or see what, you know, what was happening in the beginning of the relationship, but I guess I kept walking through that forest, you know what I mean, till I can see a beach. And I, you know, for myself, I see the beach and all of that. I just, you know, like I said before, even in my therapy, I'm just, you know, putting my foot on the sand to see if the sand is okay to walk on. And that's not saying that I don't trust my wife or anything, because I give my wife all trust. She knows I trust her. I give all of my love. It's just, you know, also, you know, just being abused all of your life. You know, you just don't want to go through that. So, you know, now I feel like, you know, I have both feet. I just haven't walked. So I'm there. I'm out there. I'm not in the forest, though. You know, but I'm right there still. You know, I can still take a step back. But I'm not, you know, in the mindset to do that either, or trying to do so either. But, you know, I appreciate her, you know, for everything she's done for me as well. She's opened up a lot for me. The stuff that I didn't want to take in. I'm not too much of a, you know, I'm a lovey-dovey person, but I'm not, like, very mushy. But she's made me that. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I've definitely learned from her, too. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it. I honestly wouldn't trade it.
I'm opening up the lines. Anyone have anything to say that's actually on the line that's listening?
Hello, everyone. Can y'all hear me?
Hello. Yes, we can.
Hey, yes,
how are you today?
Hey, I'm good. This is Marlon.
Long time.
How you doing?
I know. Where
how
you been?
Working hard, getting off work, falling asleep, tired.
Yeah.
12 and 13-hour days to get you.
Yes,
but,
I heard.
Yeah, I heard both your stories, mainly hers and your growth process, and I commend both of you because as we grow up, we we go through those curses, our family curses that we grew up in our surroundings, for as abuse wise or whatever the situation may be. We grow up, we done been through some things. But when we come into our adulthood, you know, we finally recognize that and realize that it's time for us, whoever that person may be going through that situation, to break that cycle, to break that generational curse. And with you guys, I can see that process is taking place to break that generational curse. And coming together from y'all different backgrounds, going through y'all struggles together, going through y'all storms together, is powerful. You know, that only helped y'all grow and learn each other what y'all been through. If y'all can go through what y'all been through, y'all can go through anything. You know what I'm saying? You have to just continue to weather the storm. Storm is going to come, storm is going to go. They're season. They're called seasons. Now, my question to you two guys, where does God take place in this picture? I didn't hear anything about God. Maybe I got off the phone. Where does God take place in this picture with you two guys?
I can speak for myself. God is everything. You know, I believe that, in my opinion, God is not just an external force. God is as much inside of me as it is outside of me. And, you know, I give all the credit to God because if it wasn't for that higher spiritual understanding of the fact that, you know, it's important to acknowledge, first of all, God was my comfort when I was being abused. That's the first thing. You know, I feel like when no one else was there, I would just lay down and talk to God, and that comfort, that peace would come over me to let me know that things would be all right. But, you know, God was also that voice inside of me that was telling me, you have to be different. You've got to change the things that you don't like seeing. You talk about generational curses. You know, we don't have any children, but we have to acknowledge that there are peers around us that are watching us. There are children, and we have to be the example, not just within our family, within our family, but in our community, that it's possible to have a thriving.
Let me say something real quick before we go off the air, and not trying to be rude to cut you off. Marla, if you'll go back on and listen, because her husband did several episodes. We did several weeks with him before she came on. I think it will be real powerful if you'll go back and listen to Kit's complete story and then listen to hers, and then you can put the whole thing together. It'll be real powerful if you get all of his. Yeah, you will. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can go on and continue.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, you know, not just for our family, but for our community, especially now with social media. You know, we get reached out to a lot with people saying, you know, you guys are our example. You give us hope that it's possible to have a good relationship. And we always tell people, it's a lot of work. You know, when you're on social media, you don't post pictures of yourself crying. You don't post pictures of yourself fighting. You only post the good things. But we want people to know that it works because we work. And it works because we pray, you know, we not only pray with each other, we pray for each other, ourselves and for continued, you know, support from within, from without, you know, that energy is always there, and recognizing that everything that we've been through is just let your test be your testimony, that everything that we've been through, everything that we go through is to, you know, to help other people, like I said, to show that you can not only survive, you can thrive. You can do it. You can be better tomorrow than you are today, and you can be even better and stronger together than apart.
That is so awesome.
And to tag on that, Belle, because for whatever reason, and I guess God is telling me to extend my show, but for whatever reason, this gets really interesting when we run out of time. And we have less than 60 seconds left on the show. We will be back next Thursday. I know I will apologize. This past week, something was going on with the dashboard, and we could not get logged in. But we will be back next Thursday. Please feel free to call back in. Questions, comments, concerns. We want to thank everyone that was on the show today. I see some more callers, but we didn't get a chance to get to everyone. Like I said, please return back next week, same time, same place, same phone number. Thank God for you listening, and talk to you next week.
Have a good evening.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.